Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God. Again, entering into a time called the new year. This old year passed by so quickly you don't hardly even remember what happened in it. When I look at how fast the years are starting to go, I know that we're hastening towards the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible teaches us also there are things that are going to happen that we need to be aware of as we get closer to the end. There's going to be terrible deception. We're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. We're going to see signs in the sun and in the stars and in the moon. We know the great tribulation is on the horizon. So before we get to that great tribulation, we will see the birth pangs of it. We will see the beginning of sorrows as we close in on that time. And we need to make sure that we understand what's going on. Many in the church are nonchalant about all the things that are happening. Many just don't seem to care. But the children of the living God who are in tune with God, they know what's going on and they are able to explain and to warn the masses of what we are heading for. We know that the Great Tribulation will last for 7 years. We also know, those of us who study it, that the demonic realm will be unleashed on this planet. They are already starting to show themselves. People sight them all over the place, it seems. But we know that these things were prophesied, so we don't throw them aside as somebody having some strange experience. This is what the Bible prophesied. We will see signs and lying wonders in the end. And many people will be fooled by that. They will be mesmerized by that. And that shouldn't be. We should be ready to expose the demonic activity that's going on, because we as Christians have been given the job to be the salt of the earth. So today I'll get into this message of explaining on what we can expect and how God wants us to react as we get closer to the end. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of Scripture. Help us to understand the signs of the time so that we can be priests and kings unto you and warn those who are in danger. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your grace, and I ask you to bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. For the start of this program, I want to warn the Christians who are nonchalant, who don't seem to care about what's going on. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it tells us this: My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. There are many Christians today who have rejected knowledge. You can see it in the same-sex community. You can see it with same-sex marriage, the transgender organizations. We can see how parents and churches are allowing this into their homes and into their churches. They accept them as they are, and they are even allowed into being part of the ministry. The Bible teaches us that homosexuality is an abomination to God, and we need to keep preaching that. And if you are going to reject that knowledge, you will be rejected by God, and you cannot be a priest unto God, and thus your children will suffer the consequences, because he says, I will, because you cannot be a priest to me, I will also forget your children. This is the warning I want to bring to those who take the word of God lightly, who do not take the warning that Leviticus teaches, that don't take the warning of the abomination that Romans chapter 1 and Leviticus chapter 18 teaches. God is going to allow you to go on in your folly, but your children are going to be the ones that are going to suffer the consequences. It tells us very clearly what the gospel is. The Bible is clear. The gospel will be preached all the way to the end. When we see the gospel being preached, and what is the gospel? The gospel is that we get salvation through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross for us. He paid for your sin and my sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And anybody who preaches another gospel, the Bible teaches us, let him be accursed. So I want you to understand that that is what we lean ourselves on, regardless what happens all around us. Because the Bible teaches us there's going to be some incredible signs and wonders and miracles. The problem is, with signs and wonders and miracles, the devil has had a lot of time to study the church, and he has been able to duplicate with signs and wonders what God's children are doing. So today, you have to look at it this way. It's not a sign and a wonder that brings you salvation. It is the gospel. It tells us in Acts chapter 2 in verse 17, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in these days of my spirit, and they shall testify." They shall prophesy. Very interesting scripture. When I study that, I can clearly see that many of God's children are into signs and wonders. I have experienced healings. I have experienced signs and wonders in my life. But the enemy has also raised up quite a few people who are into signs and wonders. But at the same time, they will preach another gospel. Regardless how many signs and wonders I see and I experience, I will still tell you the way into the kingdom is not through somebody getting healed. The way into the kingdom is not through somebody raised from the dead. The way into the kingdom is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he shed on the cross for us. The Bible teaches us in John chapter 14 in verse 12, here it is again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go on to my Father." I go on YouTube, I see false religions imitating and doing the things that that God did. The Bible clearly teaches us that they will stand at the judgment seat and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not healed the sick? Have we not done many wonderful works?" It's not the signs and wonders where we base our eternal life on. Yes, if the Lord God uses you for signs and wonders and miracles and raising the dead, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, go for it. Bring as many into a saving grace by you showing them these things, because that'll build up their faith. But remember, the way into the kingdom is still the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless how many good works you do. Because there are many counterfeits out there who will do a very similar work. This is what the Bible teaches us. They will imitate and do lying signs and wonders. It's not going to be that the wonders and signs are going to be lies. They will lie to you to try to bring you away from God. It is very easy for a devil to heal a sick person. And here's the reason why. Most sicknesses come from demonic oppression. All a demon has to do is leave that person's body, and guess what? The body of that person will heal itself. There you got your sign, and there you got your healing. We need to understand the wiles of the devil in these days. He's out to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he's going to come as an angel of light and will deceive many, the Bible says. If it would be possible, the very elect would be deceived. But those of us who know the way of salvation, they will not be deceived. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like the flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift a standard against him." Here is what I would recommend everyone to do. If you get into seeing these miracles, signs, and wonders, yes, you will be amazed by them. I've seen them. But you need to ask the person, how do you get to into heaven? Because your main goal is to get into the kingdom of God. How do you get into heaven? And if he brings another gospel than what the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ have brought, the Bible teaches us, let him be accursed. The enemy will come in like a flood, the Bible says, but God will always have somebody who will rise up and stand against him, regardless how sneaky the devil is, regardless how good in deceiving he is. There will always be somebody there to expose those prophets of the devil. We need to understand that. You cannot cheat. It's impossible to cheat when it comes to the gospel. There is only one way, only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is the name Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 5 in verse 13, it tells us, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." So if the church has lost their saltiness, if they allow all kinds of doctrines and demonic activity in amongst themselves, then they lost their saltiness and they're useless to the kingdom of God. We need to understand that. We are heading into a time where we're going to see incredible things happening, things that we haven't seen before. We know what's happening already with the technology that is being placed into our hands. Unbelievable things are happening all over the world, and it's going to become more spiritual as we get closer to the end. We need to understand God does not want us to be led astray. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the antidote for any sign and wonder that it doesn't come from a true Christian. You just have to ask them a few questions, and then it doesn't take long. They prove their true colors. And on the next part of this program, I will explain to you a very interesting story of a run-in I had with a guy who claimed that he was sent by the force to open the last seal of Revelation. What an interesting story. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing. Amen.
With his hand, oh, he touched me. He gave life a brand new meaning, and to me a reason to go on. He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my shelter. But most of all, he He's always strong when I'm tired and weak. I could search this whole world over. He'd still be everything that I need. He's my bread when I'm hungry. Shelter from troubled winds. He's my anchor in life's ocean. But most of all, he's my best friend. But most of all, he's my best friend.
In Matthew chapter 24 in verse 14, it tells us, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." We know that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is one fact that we clearly understand. And I know in today's society, it's the gospel that is the antidote against false religion. There is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. And the Bible teaches us, anybody who comes with another gospel, let him be accursed. And that means all religions and all people who bring another gospel. I once had a very interesting run-in with a guy that claimed he was sent by the force to open the last seal of Revelations. And here is how it went. We were at the farmer's market, and this nice-looking young guy was admiring my camper that I had built for my pickup truck for the farmer's market. And he said, told me, "Did you build that?" He asked me, "Did you build that?" I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "I built my own too." So I said, "Let's go see it. Let's go look at it." And we went to his truck, and there it was, a homemade thing that he made on the back of his truck for him to live in. Then I asked him, "What job do you have?" And he said, "I don't have a job. I don't need a job. I was sent here on this earth to open the last seal of Revelation." And of course, that got my curiosity going, and I usually enjoy stuff like that. "Oh my goodness," I said, "are you born again by the Spirit of God?" And he said, "I was baptized." And I said, no, that's not the question I'm asking. Are you born again by the Spirit of God? Are you a Christian?" And he told me, "I don't have to be a Christian. I don't have to be born again. I was sent here by the force to open that last seal. This born again, this being a Christian, that's for everybody else. I am different." And I told him, "Yes, I know you are different, and I will be seeing you." And I simply walked away from him because I knew the guy was deceived from head to foot. He was sent by the force to open the last seal of Revelation. Come on, that guy should read his Bible at least, so he could at least be a half-decent counterfeit. He wasn't even a half-decent counterfeit. But this is how we are seeing things happening. There are people who claim they're sent by God. There are churches who claim they're the last force of the Holy Spirit upon this earth. And I've heard people say that. They're the last wave of the Holy Spirit. We better get on board. No, the Holy Spirit is going to be here all the way to the end. And the gospel is going to be preached. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to this next verse that I'm going to read. It's found in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 15. The Apostle Paul, it was brought to his attention that there were people preaching the gospel who were doing it for argument's sake. He says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? He says, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therefore therein do I rejoice, and I will rejoice. So the Apostle Paul makes a very interesting statement here. Regardless how you preach the gospel, as long as the gospel is preached, if you preach the gospel to make money, that's between you and God. You will have to suffer for it. You will have to give an account for it as long as you preach the gospel. This is what Paul is saying. I remember a testimony from a guy who went into a bar and there was a rock group singing Amazing Grace just to make a fool out of it. And this guy caught on what they were singing, and he had no rest till a year later he found out about that Amazing Grace. These rock and roll guys who were making a fool or making fun of the gospel in a bar did not realize that they had preached to a person that was through that preaching brought to a saving grace by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, as long as the gospel is preached, it doesn't matter. I will rejoice in it. That is very, very interesting. So open your heart to this. The gospel is being preached throughout the world. And if people do not operate rightly in while they preach their gospel, that is none of your business. That's between them and God. The Apostle Peter asked the Lord Jesus Christ a question. He asked him about John, the apostle. He said, what will happen to this man? And the Lord Jesus Christ told him, that's none of your business. What your business is to follow me. And that's what I recommend. Never mind what others do. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ in true repentance as you give your life and heart to him through the precious blood that he shed on the cross for us. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.